Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your word, that we are not left wondering what you want from us, how you want us to live, what you want us to say, how you want us to relate to one another. You wrote it down for us. You wrote it down so that we would always have it as a static document that man can't fiddle with and change. We thank you, Father, for its accuracy, for its authority. And we are asking now that as our brother comes to open it to us, that a couple of things. First, that we might understand what's written in it, and that not only our minds would be open to its word, but our hearts would be open to its passion, and that our wills would be open to your command. And we pray these things in Christ's name so that we can be just a little bit different when we leave here this morning than when we came. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in my walk as a Christian, I did not grow up in a Christian home, but I had a pastor. His name was Russell T. Allen. And I had enjoyed his ministry for about 4 years and even had a chance to serve under him as an assistant to the pastor over summer internship. And then Dr. Earl M. Hostler was my next mentor. And then Pastor Keith Plows was a mentor for 4 years. And then the Lord moved me out to be a pastor, a solo pastor in another work in another town. But who's my pastor even now? Well, the Bible Fellowship Church, in its wisdom and by God's leading of the Spirit, has appointed a pastor's pastor. He's our conference pastor. I think he's been here once before to speak, Pastor Ralph Soper. He was the pastor of Paradise Bible Fellowship Church and pastor of Emmaus Bible Fellowship Church. And now he's my pastor because he's the pastor's pastor. So when we get ourselves into trouble or we have heavy hearts or we need prayer, we need a kindly visit or some encouraging words, Ralph is the one that God supplies to fill that need. And this morning, our elders have asked, since it is pastor appreciation, that Ralph would come and speak to us from the Word of God. So Ralph and his dear wife Sharon are with us this morning. Oh, and Ralph's retired. We served together on the Credentials Committee for a while, and right after he retired, he took up two more churches as the interim pastor. So that should tells you a little bit about his heart, that he has a heart for the Word of God, for the people of God, and for the ministry that meet people's needs for God's glory. So brother, come, open the Word to us.
Well, good morning. I see they have a clock right here. Just in case mine goes dead, this one's on. Well, it certainly is a privilege to be here today to not only help out and to give you the Word of God, but just to be here to fellowship and to worship together. It's really great singing songs as unto the Lord. Amen? I like to look at the words. I just think of the words. Sometimes we get caught up in the music, I know, but I really appreciate the words and the songs that have been sung today. But I am thankful to be able to speak on Pastor Appreciation Month. I was trying to decide. I wasn't told what to speak on, and I got to thinking about it, and the Lord laid on my heart this passage, and I thought, well, it is Pastor Appreciation Month, and because of the title, you probably gather that I'm going to be talking about that. But then I thought, you know, what pastor is going to get up in his church and talk about Pastor Appreciation Month and how good he is? You know, how good he is and how much work that he does and how much tears he sheds and joy he shares, and you ought to show me appreciation. It'd probably be his last sermon. And he'd be selling insurance somewhere, but I'm here. And you don't have to have me back. And so I'm going to talk about pastor appreciation, but I think I'm going to go a little bit further than that. And the passage that's before us, Ephesians chapter 4, if you haven't turned there already, I'd encourage you to do that. Pastor Appreciation Month came about in 1992. And do you know who had the germ idea? Hallmark cards. Now, is that ironic? They started this. Now, I think they had a good motive. I think they had a good heart. I know that probably the sales would jump up for them, but really they wanted the month to actually encourage congregations to show appreciation for their pastor. They realized the number of hours. They realize the heart that a pastor has for the Lord and for the people, and they realize that he works a lot of hours, more than one a week, I can tell you. And it was not unusual for me to work between 50 and 65 hours a week. And you're on call 24 hours a day. So when you talk about, well, when are you on call, you just say, yes, I am, as a pastor. And they realize that, and they realize that pastors can and have faced a burnout. Many have quit the ministry just because of the pressure and the workload that's there, the emotional tension that's there. And so they realized all of this, and they said, really, we need to appreciate them. And it started out as one day. Actually, the name of it was Clergy Appreciation National Day of Honoring. And it was one day, but now they've stretched it to a month. I don't know if Hallmark had a hand in that or not, but it's a good idea. But I think as a pastor, we do appreciate the Lord, and we appreciate those who appreciate us. And it is something that we do together as we serve the Lord. One website said, rather celebrated in October or throughout the year, this day of appreciation might include gifts and cards. I think I'm speaking to the choir here when I saw what went on up here. And I don't know where they're sending you. You'd probably be happy with a tree stand in the middle of the woods. But yeah, yeah. And if it's heated, you're even better. Yeah. But it says that this day of appreciation might include gifts and cards, special music, and special tributes. It's a great time to remember to pray for your pastor throughout the year. And if anyone needs ideas of how to do that, the website lists several ways that you can do that and talks about cards, expressing your gratitude, a personal thank you for the ministry, care and concern for the church, the family, the community, personalized memorabilia. Sometimes vacations are sponsored for your pastor, like taking them or letting them go to Hawaii, and to show that you really, really love them, that you should send a conference pastor and his wife with them. Where are you going? No. I think, though, there's a very effective way that we as believers in Jesus Christ can show appreciation for our pastor. And this passage, I think, reveals that. I know it reveals a lot of things, and we could preach it a lot of different ways, but I really want us to see what we can do as a body of believers in order to show appreciation, not only to our pastor, but to one another. And the first way that we can do that is for us to remember the pastor's role, and we find that in verses 11 to 13. It says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Remembering the role of the pastor, it starts out by saying, he gave. Who is the he that gave? The scripture passages just before that, Paul says, is Jesus Christ. That's powerful, and that's also an awesome thought for a pastor to think that Jesus Christ, the sovereign, almighty, gracious, loving God, is a God who gives gifts to men, but he also gives people to the church as gifts. And so, actually, I'm talking about the pastor specifically right now, but when you think about it, each one sitting in this building, each member of this church, you're a gift from God to one another. How do we handle that gift? How do we show our appreciation? But he says he gave. Jesus Christ gave. I believe we can better recognize, we can appreciate the value of a pastor and one another as we really look and turn our attention and our eyes to the Lord. As we get to know him, as we get to know this sovereign, gracious, almighty, powerful, loving God, as we draw close to him, we can begin to realize the value that we have, that the pastor has in the body of Christ, and we can show appreciation. Really, I found in my life, and I hope you have as well, is that the closer we draw to Jesus Christ, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more we can love one another. I hope you're finding that. If you haven't, please draw close to Christ. Don't Don't look at people. Don't say, oh, I could never love that person. But rather, it's not the person, it's Jesus Christ. He's the one I need to fall in love with. He's the one that needs to be everything in my life. And as I do that, he'll change my mindset. And people that are maybe not quite so loving, that maybe have porcupine quills, I can get close to because I'm loving them with the love of Christ. That's how we can appreciate one another. So we need to remember one of the roles of a pastor is to recognize that Jesus is the head of the church. And as we pray for him to recognize that, because that takes the ultimate responsibility off from him and really puts it on the Lord of the church, doesn't it? And as a pastor and serving you as a body of believers, when he recognizes that Jesus is the head of the church, then he recognizes that really he is serving you, but ultimately and first and foremost, he's serving Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's the senior pastor. And we're just to serve as pastors underneath his leadership in submission to his will. And it's a privilege. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's also a privilege to do that. And as your pastor serves under the submission of Jesus Christ, God will then work through him. And guess who benefits from that? You folks do. You benefit from how God is using him. You can show appreciation, I think, to your pastor and recognize that he is a gift from God. Now, that is not at all an egotistical thing to say. That is not a prideful thing to say that as a pastor that I'm a gift of God to this church. Now, it can be. It depends upon how the man wants to look at it. But really, it recalls to mind the awesome privilege, responsibility that I have, that Pastor Carl has in being the pastor of this church and serving the Savior. And you need to recognize that as well, is that that's who he's really here first and foremost to do, is to serve the Savior. And then respect that office that God has given to him. Another role I think the pastor has is to remember that God has called him to serve the local body. That's so important. When he looks at Christ and when he serves Christ, Christ is going to work through him to do that. But sometimes we can get our eyes off from that, and you need to pray for him, that he won't get his eyes off from that, that you won't get your eyes off from that, that he is here to serve you. That doesn't mean he does all the work, but that means that he does have some things to do in co-laboring with all of you. In the passage before us, the pastor is given by the Lord for the benefit of other people to, what does it say in here? To equip the saints for the work of service. To equip the saints for the work of service. This implies again, that the pastor is not doing all the work. He's equipping the body of believers to work together, to co-labor together as each person does what God has gifted them to do. What a vibrant time that can be for a body of believers. When everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing for the glory of God, using what he's given to you, you make the body of Christ. You make it good. You make it better. You make it healthy. And that is so important as we serve and praise and worship our Lord together. So the pastor equips, he furnishes, he fully prepares other believers to work alongside him for the Lord. Everyone, I think, doing their part, and we do it selflessly, hopefully. That's the whole idea of the Word of God, is when I serve other people for their benefit, so that they will grow in their spiritual life. Now, I found as a pastor, when you do things like that for other people, guess who else benefits? The pastor. When you, as Pastor Carl said, to see people, to see marriages healed, to see people walking in the Lord, that brings joy to his heart. I can tell you that that's true for any pastor I know of that is serving for the right reasons. Paul said that as well. Oh, to see his children walking in the Lord just brought joy to Paul. And to each pastor, it does the same thing when we see people that love the Lord and obedient to the Lord and walking with him. Boy, that puts a bounce in your step. You just enjoy ministry, seeing people that are like that. And you know that when problems come and they turn to the Lord. There is a counseling ministry called Christ-Centered Counseling Ministry, and Clyde Baumgartner is a director of that, and he was just sharing with me the other day that some people that were really struggling, and it's almost like a weight was lifted off of this couple that were really struggling, and they just began to see what the Word of God was saying to them and how rich it is in their life, and they began to experience what the Holy Spirit was doing inside of them. And he said the expression on their face just changed. And that's how it is with the child of God when we turn to him. Pastor's assignment in verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What he's saying is that the pastor is here to help us to mature in our walk with the Lord and to understand the Lord's benchmark, his benchmark for us to be filled with his presence and his power and his riches. So I think it's good to remember to know that Pastor Carl has the privilege of serving the Lord, and it's our privilege to be able to pray for him and for his family, to obey him and to be dependent upon the Lord's power and his wisdom and his strength, that he has the privilege of serving the body of Christ. We can also show appreciation, not only by remembering the pastor's role, but in verses 14 to 16, remembering the congregation's role. It says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I like in verse 14 when it starts out, at least in my version, says, as a result. To me, that says, okay, what was just said, there needs to be a result. So as the pastor teacher, as they deliver the Word of God, as they serve the Lord, as they bring honor and glory to him, then as a result, this is what is to happen. In other words, Jesus Christ is looking for a result in our life when we hear and read the Word of God. It's not just something that we memorize, and I know you know this, but it's just a good reminder to read the Word of God and to know that God is expecting a result. God is looking for a change, something different in our character and our conduct as we read his Word, as we hear his Word. This should not be, and I kind of get the feeling it's not this way here, but we should not go into a church and hear a sermon and say, boy, that was really good, and then Monday through Saturday we just live like we did the week before. There needs to be something happen when the truth of God's Word is spoken in the heart, because the Holy Spirit is at work. It's the Holy Spirit that really takes his Word and he wants to work it in our hearts. But we have to be submissive to that. It's not automatic, is it? Now, I'm not asking for an answer here, but within your own heart and mind, you know it's not automatic. Many of us have struggled. I have struggled with things in the Word of God, things that are said, things that I know I'm supposed to do, and yet I continue to fail. Repeat that over and again. And I know earlier in my Christian life, when I was really very young in my Christian life, I must have trusted Christ as my Savior 20 times. Because I trusted Christ and I thought, okay, everything's going to be good now. And I would sin again. And I said, I must not have done it right. So I prayed again. 2 days later, I sinned again. I thought, I'm not getting this right. I need to trust Christ as my Savior again. And over until somebody showed me from Scripture that once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're his forever. And sin after that, you just need to go back and ask for forgiveness for that sin. Not to be saved again, but to be cleansed so that my heart and my mind can be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that I can have a rich relationship with him. And that was a real burden lifter for me. Because to know that I'm saved not gives me the license to sin, but it's actually more responsibility to make sure that my life is right with him on a day-to-day basis. So it's not automatic. God's word is not something. Sometimes, no, I don't wish that I was an iPhone. But wouldn't it be neat to be like an iPhone where you just install a Bible app? And when you want the Word of God to come up and be rich right before you, just what? Just touch an icon. Yep, it comes. And right there it is. Wouldn't it be nice just to be able to touch something? And have? But you know what? As human beings, we can have the Word of God installed in our lives, can't we? But we've got to read it. We've got to know it. I'm not saying we have to be scholars, but we have to be able to read it and have God's Word there so that the Holy Spirit can touch whatever He wants to touch, to encourage, to convict, to challenge, to be rich. Paul says here in this set of verses that he does not want us to remain children. What does that mean? Spiritually immature. That's just what it means. God wants you to have life and to have it more abundantly. He doesn't want you to remain immature and just kind of muddle through life. He really wants you to experience life in a way that you've never experienced it before. And you can only do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to be submissive to what He has for us. So he says our role, I think, is to grow up in the faith. I think that's what Paul is saying here. And God wants us to grow in our faith as well. We're to stay away from any kind of teaching that opposes God's truth. Please be discernment. Be discerning. Today, there's books written, there's people on TV and so forth that are so close to the truth, but they're not. That if you're not discerning, if you're not comparing it with the Word of God, you can say, oh, this is the direction we should go. Be discerning. Have God's Word in there. Don't be children spiritually immature. Instead, verse 15, he says, we're to speak the truth in love and we're to grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. These two aspects are so important in the body of Christ. Truth and speaking the truth in love. God's truth and love are components, needed components for unity of the body of believers and for spiritual growth in our life and in the church as we continue to move forward for His glory. Our role is to hear and allow that Holy Spirit to do His work. And again, your pastor delights. He delights in seeing people walking with them, as John said and the Apostle Paul has said as well. We have an obligation as a congregation to think and to act rightly. That's what is being said. When we come to church, when we have this truth and we have God's love, let me tell you what can happen. And maybe it's happening here already. So excuse me if I'm saying something that you already know, but what I've seen is when I come to church and I have the truth and I know the truth and I'm walking in the truth and I have love, the love for God first and then a love for each other, boy, when I come to church, it is great to worship. My worship level goes deeper. I love God. I want to worship Him. And because it is truth and because His love and the Holy Spirit is working inside of me, coming to church is something that we want to do, that we love to do. It's not something that says, oh, it's Sunday again. Or do we have to go? And I know as my kids were growing up, I heard that a lot. Do we have to go? But you know what? They've grown in their love for the Lord. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. And now they attend church on a regular basis and love it. They're ministering in the church because they love the Lord. We all can have that same experience. If you're not having it, I just encourage you. I want to give you an appreciation and a challenge to be in the Word of God, to come to live for Him. Verse 16, Paul says, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's one of our missions, is to minister to one another, to love each other, to pray for one another. As you do that, you are showing appreciation to your pastor and to the body of believers here. Let's move on now to where verses 1 through 6. Go back to verse 1, because I'd like to see how we can show appreciation. Actually, I will call this showing a believer's appreciation month. Believer's appreciation month. Something that we can do that will really help all of us. These verses are not just to the pastor. They're not just to the congregation. They're to every believer in Jesus Christ. Here's what you can do as a believer in Christ. We're in this together. We have a spiritual journey that we're on together. It's not about program. It's not about a position in the church. It's about a spiritual journey and a relationship and a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants this unity. He desires this unity. This is not just a human Paul writing this. This is the Holy Spirit working through him to write these words. He says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. The first six verses of this chapter remind us that we are co-laborers. We do these things together. We are to work together. We're to remember that we're prisoners of the Lord, Paul says. And that's our modern world. That's not a good thing, is it? You don't walk around bragging that you were a prisoner and you were in jail. But to be a prisoner of the Lord is a privilege. It's a privilege. I'm under his control. I want to do what he wants me to do, and I'm chained to him. He's my Lord and my Savior. We're to remember that, and that we're to work together as prisoners, fellow prisoners in the Lord. And he says our conduct should harmonize with our calling. When he says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, begging you, that's what that means, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. You've been called as a child of God. You've been called to be a prisoner of the Lord, and he wants you to live that way so that other people will see Christ in us. What a blessing it is, again, to a pastor, to the body of Christ, and especially it's pleasing to Jesus Christ when we are being diligent to preserve the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Verse 3. How do we do that? I think one way is to remember that we are one body. We are a family. Sometimes I think that gets lost. We might use those words, but to really think of one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we all have one Father, the same Father, God, the Almighty, Sovereign God. And if we could begin to wrap our minds around that and to understand how close of a relationship that is and the desire that God has for us to walk in unity and harmony, to love one another, it can be life-changing. But it's also a very encouraging thing to do, very united thing to do, to understand that we are to be obedient to this one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. How precious it, I think, it is when we express a spirit of humility and gentleness and patience with one another, showing tolerance, loving, thinking of others as more important than ourselves, working together for our Savior's glory. This will bring about a believer's appreciation month 12 times a year. It can. You can appreciate each other. You can appreciate your pastor. He can appreciate you. It's just a neat way. That it's something that the Holy Spirit does. This is not a human effort. This is not something that just will develop because we're great people. It'll develop because we have a great God that wants to work in and through us for his glory. And we can do that by being steadfast in our relationships. Please, don't let tiny things, insignificant things split us apart. Don't let preferences pull us apart. Put your preferences, leave them outside on the new driveway. Just leave your preferences out there. Come in with a heart of worship and praise, and looking to our Lord and our God for what he has to offer, what he wants to do in and through us. And take that opportunity make the opportunity to encourage your pastor with words, and you've already done that this morning, but don't let this be the only morning. You can talk to him on the way out. You can call him. You can write a card. You can do other things. Let him know that you do appreciate and that you pray for him. And we're to pray for our pastors. And in chapter 1 of this book, it says, pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give him a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And remember, to show appreciation, pray for one another. I don't know if you have a church directory or not, but go down through that and pray for 2, 3, 4, 5 people a day. And just pray for them. And if you get the urge, send them a card. Or call them on the phone, or text them, or email, or Twitter, or whatever else is out there. Do that. Make that contact. Pray for one another, that you'll have unity. And then joyfully participate. Don't leave it just, okay, I prayed for you, now it ought to happen. Pray for one another, but then joyfully join in together, making what God has asked us to do happen in the body of Christ. And I'm saying all of this because as a pastor's appreciation month. But let's go beyond that. There's more that can be said here. But let's go beyond that and to realize that when we do what God has asked us to do here, what does he say in Scripture? By your love for one another, they will know that you are my disciples. That's the ultimate, is to bring glory to God is the ultimate. But then to love one another and build up the body of Christ, others are going to see that, and they're going to want to know, especially in the day and age we live in. We are getting more and more separated into individualism. And people are beginning to, we're seeing it. We're seeing suicide on the rise because those connections are being lost. And when people begin to see, hey, you're a church that really love each other. You care for each other. Let me kind of step in and see what's happening. And by your love for one another, they're going to see that you're disciples and that they want that love. They want that relationship that you have. May God get the glory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you appreciate us. It goes beyond that. You really love us. You care for us. You give us the Holy Spirit. You want us to work out that love, that care, that concern, all of the things that you are and that you've given to us. You want us to work out in our life so that people will see Christ in us. So, Lord, help us to appreciate you, to love you, to grow in that love. And then through that, may we look to other people and appreciate them and pray for them and do what we can that you lead us to do, in order to help one another, to be that joint that supplies the needed things that are there, that the body of Christ will be built up. We want to make sure that we do give you the praise and the glory. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.